Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, we're a chosen nation. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of Him. Who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we praise You tonight. We've been translated out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, you're peculiar, and you can be seated. That's a good thing. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world today, isn't there? You know, there's so much. You watch the news, and you could really get depressed if you didn't know who you were in Christ Jesus. But you know what? We are a royal priesthood.
Yes, we are.
We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people, and we're called to show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the light of God, isn't it? You know, we don't have to be concerned. In fact, you know, I was watching the news yesterday about Iran and all the stuff going on there, the treaties that they're signing, and watched what Netanyahu said about this is terrible for the nation of Israel and all the argument that goes on in Congress about the treaty. But, you know, I actually got excited because I said, you know, I'm part of another kingdom. I'm part of the royal kingdom. I'm part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're not like everybody else. In fact, you know, when things are looking bleak and dark all around us, we begin to shine. You know, that's when things get brighter for us. The path of the just is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the full light of day.
Amen.
That's good news, isn't it?
Yes,
hallelujah. It's good to be on that path.
Amen.
Well, welcome to Word of Life Church. Hallelujah. It's good to be here tonight. Obviously, I'm not Pastor Joel. And for those of you that are guests tonight, we welcome you. Hope you'll come back when Pastor Joel's here next on Sunday. But I just wanted to say a public thank you to Pastor Joel and to Pepe for allowing me to do this. You know, this church is full of able, anointed ministers that probably should have been up here before I am tonight. But I just want to tell him how much I appreciate him allowing me to do this tonight and to do what I really love to do, which is share the word and encourage people. And I just want to thank you all for allowing me to do that. Thank you all for being here tonight, too. I also want to say a very special happy birthday to my daughter-in-law, Amanda Eaton. She, even though she knew I was preaching tonight, she came to church. And she and her husband, Ryan, my son, Ryan. And I just want to wish you happy birthday, Amanda. Thank you for being here. And I have a whole contingent of family here tonight. I got to tell you, they're all over the place. Stand up, family. If you're related to me in any way whatsoever, stand up. Thank you very much. There's some in the back, too. Robin and I are blessed to have two beautiful daughters-in-law, Lily here on the third row with Alan and Amanda back there that you just heard about. We are so blessed, and we couldn't have asked for two better daughters-in-law for our what we thought were great sons. We still think they're great sons. But we love you all very much, and we appreciate you. And I've got Tripp and Amanda and Jason and Reagan are here, and see Brad and Kim and Tracy back there. Thank you all for coming. And Linda David, thank you all for coming, even though you knew I was speaking. So thank you very much. You know, about 6 months ago, Pastor Joel preached a message. It was in January, may have been the end of December, 1st of January, about goal setting. I don't know if you remember that or not. In fact, he passed out a little card that looked like this. You probably can't see it from back there. It says, my 2015 prayer goals. And he used the scripture in Habakkuk that says, write the vision and make it plain so that they that read it, those that read it, can run with it. And you know, something really got on the inside of me and Robin as well at the same time about this. And we took this sheet out like a lot of you did, and we began to write our goals down. And in fact, my brother-in-law, David White, we're in business together. He coined a phrase and called it the Habakkuk principle. There's something amazing that happens when you write the vision, when you write it down. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. But when you begin to write the things that you're asking God to do this year and the goals that you have and the things that obviously you can't do by yourself, and you write down your prayer requests and your financial goals and your personal goals, something supernatural happens. I don't know what it is. God gets involved with those goals, with those prayer requests, with those visions of that, the things you have for 2015. And things begin to happen. I can't explain it. I don't know why it is. But at the same time, Pastor Joel made these books available, these message series notebooks. And, you know, you put your prayer goals in here. I put it on the front page. And then there's a lot of blank spaces to write notes from the messages. And he's got handouts from some of the messages. But after a couple of weeks after getting this notebook, and I think I got this notebook on January 15th or something like that, within a week, it was 8 days. 8 days later, I had a prayer request that was answered that we had been praying about for a year and a half. And prayer was answered on January 23rd. And the reason I remember that date is 6 days later, January 29th, the next prayer was answered that was an amazing answer to prayer that God did. And so I said, you know, I need a place in this book to write down these things that were. I know there's a place on the front where these goals are answered, but I said, I need a page where I can just write down stuff that God did for us in 2015. And so in my book, I've got a page that says, guess what it says? Things that God did for us in 2015. That's pretty creative, isn't it? Things that God did for us in 2015. I'm not necessarily a real creative guy. I probably could have come up with something better than that, but things that God did for us in 2015. And I wrote these first two prayer requests, the answers to these prayers, in the book. And so since that time, I've been writing down the major things that have happened, including some of the ones that were on my goal list. But not just that, but just the things that God has been doing. Things that are God. I mean, there's no other explanation, but it's God showing His favor on me and Robin and our family and our business and all the great things that He has done for us. In fact, let me give you just I won't tell you the first one because it's really long, but it involves the IRS. But it was a good thing. Well, let me tell you because I don't want you to think I did anything wrong. In 2013, June of 2013, June 29th of 2013, we got a letter. We have a business. David and Lynn and Robin and I and all of our family are in business together in the insurance business. And we filed a tax return, as everybody, that all law-abiding citizens do in 2012, for our companies. And we had seven companies, and they were all in this tax return on a consolidated return. And we got a letter from the IRS that said that they had selected us randomly for a compliance research exam. That doesn't sound very good. I don't know about you, but a compliance research exam sounds like it's going to take a long time and could cost a lot of money. So immediately we began to pray. David and I sat down and said, I said, David, you know, we got this notice. And I checked on it, and a compliance research exam is a new thing. They've only selected 10 companies within the whole district, this southern district of the IRS, to examine. There's nothing in particular they want to look at, but they want to look at every transaction from every business that we have in 2012. And so we prayed that this thing would either go away, which would have been the preferable thing, or that we come out of this thing smelling like a rose. You know, even if you didn't do anything wrong, if somebody comes in and says they're going to spend months and months examining you, the concern is they're going to find something whether there was anything there or not. But, so we prayed that, and for a year and a half, we provided documents and we provided transactions. We had reams of paper, boxes of paper, everything for the IRS. And on January the 23rd, 2015, I got an email saying that they were giving us a no-change letter. Now, what that means, for those of you that have never been involved with the IRS before, is it means they've finished their work and they're not changing anything. They're not going to charge. Everything was okay with them. We were slick, clean as a whistle. And we said, Praise God. I mean, that was a great way to start 2015. But I got to tell you, that was God, because there's no way that you go through a compliance research exam and don't have any adjustments at all on your tax return. We're talking about thousands and thousands of transactions. But anyway, that was God. The second thing I'll tell you real quickly happened about a week later, 6 days. It was January the 29th. I remember because it was my birthday. I teach a men's Bible study on Monday mornings, and they gave me an Alluvion gift card for the Alluvion Hotel in Greenwood, Mississippi. And I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard about it or been there, but it's a really nice hotel in downtown Greenwood that's owned by Viking Range. They have a great restaurant. It's a great hotel. And we decided we were going to go up there for my birthday. David and I are pilots, and we loved every time we get a chance, we fly the airplane. So we said, we'll fly up to Greenwood. Greenwood has an airport. Got at that time one runway, runway 18 and runway 36. And we said, we'll fly up there for the night, come back the next day, and spend my birthday up there. So we did that, but the problem was when we were getting ready to leave, the weather was great, except there was a really strong wind. It was a 20-knot wind coming from 260, which means it's coming straight out of the west, just about almost exactly out of the west. The problem is that the runway in Greenwood runs north and south. We were going to land on runway 18, which means you're landing to the south. And as we were getting close to the airport, we prayed. David and I prayed up in the cockpit area. God, either make the wind stop or change directions, because it's good for an airplane if you're landing into the wind. You want to land into the wind with the wind coming straight at you, right down the runway if possible. It's just the best way to land. But you do not want a crosswind, because crosswinds, especially heavy crosswinds in a small plane, can be a problem. I had landed in Greenwood once before with a 20-knot crosswind, and it was difficult to keep the plane on the runway once you landed. So on the way up, we prayed that, and I talked to the air traffic controller as we were getting close. The wind had not changed. It was still 20 knots out of 260 degrees. And I said, Greenwood Tower, 829 Charlie, about 10 miles to the south, we'd like to land on runway 18. And he says, okay. And then he came back on a couple minutes later. He said, 829 Charlie, how would you like to land on runway 23? Well, the runways are numbered after the direction that they are in relation to the compass. And so runway 23, if you land on that, we're going 230 degrees. You're going into the south or west, southwest is how you're landing. And it just so happened that that's the direction the wind was coming from. And I said, David, 23, I've never even heard about runway 23. There used to be an old runway here that was closed years ago, and all they had was this the one runway. So I got back on. I said, Tower, are you sure that this is 23? Is that correct? He said, yeah, runway 23. And we got up there and we looked, and sure enough, there's runway 23. It looked like it had just been paved. And we went ahead and landed there. Everything was great, wind coming right at us. And I got on the radio with the control tower, and I said, Greenwood Tower, I said, how long has this runway been open? He said, about 10 minutes. He said, in fact, you're the first one to land on it. So I said, he said, praise God. Not only did we not crash and kill ourselves, but God opened up a place that gave us the wind right down. He didn't change the wind. He opened up a whole new runway for us. So it's in the book. Things that God did for me in 2015. So that made it to the book. There's a bunch of other stuff that I won't share with you, but I do want to share a couple things. You know, why is it important to write this stuff down? Why is it important to remember what God does for you and write them down? Because, you know, I can go back now, and I might forget that a year from now, but I go back in my book, and there it is. God opened runway 23 in Greenwood, Mississippi on January 29th, 2015. But why do I do that? Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. And if you've got that for the screen, verse 5 we read a lot. We say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on not under your own understanding. And then verse 6 is, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Now, the word ways in this situation is your course in life. In your course of life, all your ways, which is your course of life, acknowledge God. And acknowledge, The word acknowledge means to recognize, to declare, and to make known. It's a Greek word, it's the Hebrew word yada, Y-A-D-A. And it means to recognize, declare, and make known. Now, so what the Scripture is telling us to do is, in all that we do, in all of our life, on our life's course, we're to recognize the fact that God's at work in our lives and that God's doing good stuff in our lives. In fact, He loves to do good stuff for us. Amen? Can anybody have any God do anything good for them? Yeah, He loves it. He loves to do good to His people. In fact, He delights in the prosperity of His servants. Anyway, so we acknowledge that God did it. And we not only do acknowledge it, but we declare and make known it. Make known. That's our testimony. If we're acknowledging God, not only are we acknowledging and recognizing that He did it for us, but we're also telling somebody. That's right. We're also telling somebody. We're declaring and we're making known the goodness of God in our lives. Now, you might say, well, that's great. That's great. But there's more. Because God says now, if we do that, then He's going to direct our paths. Direct our paths, right? You know what direct means? Direct in the Hebrew means to make right, make pleasant, and make prosperous. Isn't that good? If you acknowledge God, if you say, God, You're my source. You're the one that's been so good to me. You're the one that's done these things. You declare these things and you give testimony to the fact that God's good to you. He's going to direct your path, which means He's going to make your path right, pleasant, and prosperous. Wow, that's a good thing, isn't it? So that's what God does for us. I've got my paraphrase of this scripture, Proverbs 3:6, is, during the course of your life, recognize, declare, and make known the goodness of God, and He will make your way right, pleasant, and prosperous. Isn't that good? You know it's good to serve God. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There's nobody like us, but what are we there for? That scripture in 1 Peter says that we should show forth the praises of Him who's called us. Amen? That's what makes us unique and distinct, is that we recognize the goodness of God. And not only do we recognize it, we proclaim it, we declare it, we tell people about how God has been good in our lives. And it opens up the door for God to be even better in our lives. That's what God's all about. That's why God is so good. Hallelujah. Turn to, in your Bible, to Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 5. This is another scripture that I think goes right in line with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. And I love this scripture. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, and make mention that His name is exalted. That sounds like this royal priesthood, doesn't it? That's what we do. We declare and make mention that His name is exalted. That's what makes us different. Hallelujah. When all this bad stuff is happening all around us, we've got a great testimony. We said, I don't care what happens in the world. God is my God and He's a good God. He's going to take care of me no matter what. He makes my way prosperous. He gives me good success. Declare, sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. That word known is to declare. This is declared in all the earth. God does good stuff for us and we declare it everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Amen. God been good to you?
Yes.
And we need to say so. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, there's we know that the Old Testament's there for our example. We find out in 1 Corinthians that all the stories and the things we read about men of and women in the Old Testament, all the things that's happened to them and the things they've gone through, they're there for our example so that we can learn, so that we sometimes don't repeat the same mistakes that they made, right? Well, I want you to look tonight. We're going to look at in the book of Psalms, chapter 107, and verse 8. Psalms 107 and verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. This is King James, and the reason I like this one, Revised Standard, I think, uses the same word, but This starts out O, O-H. You know, this word, for those of you, I had to look this up because I didn't remember this from my English class, but when we were in school, in grade school, grammar school, we learned that the word O was an interjective. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
The word O is an interjective. And what the word O does, the word O provides emphasis. It's an interjection, it's used to show strong emotion, and is usually followed by a statement that explains why strong emotion is called for. So in this particular verse, the psalmist obviously felt like there was strong emotion required for what he was about to say. So the word O, and we're going to look at this a little further later on, but just to give you an example, if you had a favorite football team, and the football team was playing, and there was just a few seconds left in the game, they were down by 5, and they had the ball. The quarterback throws it to his wide receiver who has just gotten free from his defender, and he's gotten into the end zone. The quarterback throws the perfect spiral pass right into the waiting arms of this wide receiver, and the receiver drops it, and the time runs out. Your response would be, "Oh, no!" Well, that's an interjective. That's O. That's what O means. Oh, no. Can you say that? Say, oh, no. You're not very, come on. They can do better than that. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Now, what does that mean? That means you're disappointed. You're very upset that this guy has dropped the ball, because had he caught it, you would have won the game. So, oh, this interjective tells you that what he's about to say has strong emotion with it, and there's purpose behind it. So we're going to come back and look at that in just a minute. But turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to read this section. Back in this is during the time that Moses and the children of Israel are about to go into the Promised Land. And so Moses is telling them all these things about what's going to happen when you get there, and warning them about certain things. You know, they're going into the Promised Land. Moses wasn't going to go with them, but they were going to go, and Moses was warning them about the things that were about to take place, because they were going to go and God was going to prosper them. But Moses, because he'd spent 40 years with these people, knew how they would react, what they would do. And he says to them, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. And if it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Moses had just spent 40 years with this group, and he knows he'd been through the Red Sea, and we'll find out, or we'll see in just a couple minutes, in Psalm 106, they praised God like crazy when they got through the Red Sea and the enemy was killed, but right after that, the scripture says, they forgot God. And they had the waters, where the waters were bitter, and He gave them sweet water. He gave them rock out of the split rock. He provided quail and manna from heaven. And yet, in all these great miracles that God did, Moses knew these guys have a tendency to forget that and say, I want to go back to Egypt. I don't like this, and God's nowhere. He's gone now, and who put you in charge, Moses? And so he knew. He'd spent 40 years with these people. So he gives them this warning and says, when you go to the promised land, don't forget that it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. Because when you do that, you're on a slippery slope, and the end is coming soon. Well, you know, I'd like to say that they did that, that they obeyed what Moses told them to do, but no, they didn't. In fact, if you look over in Psalm 106, you know, Psalm 105, 106, and 107 is a history of the nation of Israel. It takes you from about, it starts describing it about the time of Abraham, maybe about 2000 or so B.C., takes you all the way up to the time after the Babylonian captivity in about 520 B.C. So you got 1,500 years of history that's described in Psalm 106, 105, 106, and 107. And the sad part of this is that it gives you a running commentary of the Israelites, their ups and downs. God would deliver them. They'd praise God. They'd forget God. They'd get in a jam. God would deliver them. They'd pray to God and ask forgiveness, and God would deliver them again. They'd praise God. They'd forget God. And then the next calamity would come. But for 1,500 years, this is kind of how it went. They went from one calamity to the next, all because they forgot. They didn't remember to do what Moses told them to do, and that is, don't forget who gives you the power to get wealth. Don't forget that God's the one that does all this for you. Because, and then Moses said, the day that you start forgetting about who your source is, that's going to be the end of things. And that's exactly what happened, 106 through, in fact, let's just read it. And the waters covered their enemies. This is talking about the Red Sea. There was not one left, not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. This is how 105 through 107 went. All the way through, you have these stories. Now, let's flip back again to 107, Psalm 107. And let's talk about this word O again. 107, we'll start at verse 3. And he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Now, notice in verse 8, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, at first glance, you would say, well, that's nice. Praise the Lord. He took them to the right place, and there they finally got in the land. But if you follow the rest of the book all the way through, the same thing happened over again. Some calamity would happen because they forgot God. They would repent. He would restore them. And then they would praise God, and then they would forget God again. This particular statement, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, is in Psalm 107 four times. He makes this statement, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, we've already said that oh is an interjection. It's a strong emotion. So it's not, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. No, here's how I think the psalmist meant to say it. Oh, if only they had praised the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. This guy, the psalmist, was very upset, and he said, you know, it reminds me of, back in the 70s, there was a commercial on television, it was a V8 commercial, and the guy, he'd eat lousy food, and he said, he found out he could have had a V8. You remember what he did? He'd go, wow. Wow is an interjection, by the way. Wow, I could have had a V8. Well, I can see the psalmist doing this and saying, oh, if they'd only praised the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, they never would have been in this situation. Because Moses told them, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the word praise the Lord in this particular verse, praise the Lord for his goodness. You know what the word is there? It's Y-A-D-A-H. It's not the same word as yada that we talked about in Proverbs. But yada means praise, and it means praise with uplifted hands. In other words, you know, when you lift your hands to God, you're saying, God, it's all about you. It's not about me. It's surrender and saying, I could never have done this myself. I need you. You know, it's kind of the opposite. You've watched college basketball players when they make a great play these days. It's a new thing, I guess. And whenever they block a shot or they slam dunk, they come down the court and they beat their chest, you know. It's kind of the opposite of that. Yada is kind of the opposite of pounding your chest and saying, look how great I am. Look what I just did. Yada is saying, it wasn't me, folks. It wasn't me. So that's what God, that's what the psalmist wants to get across is, you know, look, guys, if you just recognize the fact, like Moses told you, that God is your source, God is your provider, and the only way you have anything good in your life at all is because God's in your life. And when you shove God off to the side and want to push him to the background, things aren't going to work. You know, this is not just a principle of the Old Testament. There's a New Testament scripture as well. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. If you've got that, put that one on the screen. Who is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means everything is wrapped up in Jesus. My paraphrase of that is, without Jesus, the wheels come off. And that's the truth. And so when we try to put God to the side and push him to the background, things, just like Moses said, and the day you do that, you're on a slippery slope. And so tonight, what I want to get across is that, you know, the New Testament tells us in everything, give thanks. Well, why do we do that? Because we know we belong to God. The scripture we read or spoke this tonight in 1 Peter says that we're a holy nation, a royal priesthood that should show forth the praises of him. Because this is what we do. As our speaker last week said, it's in our DNA. This is what we do. We praise God. We show forth. We declare what God's done for us. And part of our duty as believers is to testify and tell of the great things that God has done for us. Yes, you know, if you were not a believer and somebody came up to you, and two people came up to you, one of you had saying how terrible things were and how things never worked out for them and things were looking bad, and the other guy says, man, I serve a God that's a good God. Every time something comes against me, I'm always victorious. Who would you want to serve? You'd want to serve the God that takes care of his people, wouldn't you? Well, it's a testimony. It's a great witnessing tool to say, look what God has done. So I want to encourage you to write down the things that God does for you in 2015. If you haven't started already, start it today. You know, when you start to do it, you're going to find that you may not have enough pages in your book to write down all the good stuff that God loves to bless his people. You know, I mentioned earlier that we're in business with David and I, and our families are in business together. And it's been such an amazing thing. We did this goal thing at the office and got the, even passed these things out to all the employees. A couple hundred employees got these prayer goals. And so that they could do them themselves. But we began to speak out the things that we were believing God for in 2015. And, you know, halfway through the year, we're just about all the way to that whole year's goal. Because we wrote the vision, made it plain, and we loosed the power of God to operate in our business. Now, I'll be the first one. David will be the first. David is the president of the company. All family owns it, but David is the president. And my hat's off to David. David, I'm not trying to toot David's horn, but he's probably one of the smartest guys I know. But he will be the first to tell you that none of this that's happened in our business is because anybody's smart. Our kids are smart. They're sharp. They're about as good as anybody gets in the industry. And we're happy and proud to have them working with us. But they'll tell you, the things that happen are not because we're smart. It's because we serve God. We serve a living God And we expect and we do see the blessing of God in our business. And, you know, He wants to do that for all of us. You know, it's not about us. It's not about us. No matter how much it, we may think it's about us, it's not about us. But God does delight to bless His children. And in these days when things are getting darker and darker and darker, we're going to get lighter and lighter and lighter. People are going to look at us and they're going to say, how are you doing that? What's the secret? Well, I'll tell you what the secret is. It's Psalm 107, verse 8. It's Proverbs 3, verse 6. And it's Zechariah chapter 12. Declare the works of the Lord. Make known, make His name glorious. Hallelujah. Tell the good things that God has done for you. Tell the good things that God has done for you. You know, Carl Ray, I don't know if Carl Ray's here or not, but I thought of Carl Ray when I was writing this and writing this down. Back in the 1970s, there was many of you that are probably 45 or older remember Andre Crouch and the Disciples. Right after I got saved, I was 16 years old. I got saved when I was 16. I was far from God. Got saved, and as a result of Robin and her family witnessing to me, and she became my wife. So that was a good thing, a good reward. But I remember Andre Crouch and the Disciples. You know, were singing, and I loved their music. They were fantastic. And the reason I thought of Carl Ray was that last weekend I was standing out there, and Carl Ray comes up and says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. I can't sing like Carl Ray, but you know, you can hear Carl Ray singing that. And I said, yes, He is. I said, Jesus is the answer. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And if you remember Andre Crouch and the Disciples, I played that song over. I had an 8-track tape player at that time, and that's what I listened to it on, but I wore the thing out. But I was thinking about this other song that he wrote or that he sang. I don't know if he wrote it or not. And he called it My Tribute. And he said, how can I say thanks for the things You've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet You gave to prove Your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. And I thought, that tells it. That's it right there. Jesus, You are my answer. Jesus, You're the reason I'm here. You're the reason that I have life. You're the reason that I have joy. You're the reason that I don't have to worry about tomorrow, what's going to happen in Iran, what's going to happen, you know, in the United States with the illegal immigrants and all the violence that goes on. I'm not worried. I'm not worried in the slightest because I know to whom I belong. And I know that I'm one of those that he talked about in 1 Peter that says, you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and you're a peculiar people, and I've called you to show forth all the great things that I'm doing in your life. Hallelujah. Because people are drawn to the kindness of God. People want to see the kindness of God. It's God's kindness that leads men to repentance. And when they see how good God is, and I'll tell you what, God is good. God is good. Amen. Say that when they say, God is good. He is good to me. I don't have to worry. God's taken good care of me. All my needs are met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'll never worry. I'll never worry another day in my life because I belong to Him. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to belong to Jesus? Wow. And not only that, you get to go to heaven. Isn't that good? And we think this is good. Wait till we get up there. God is so good. Hallelujah. Well, one other scripture I want to share with you before we finish. It's in Psalm 107, the very last verse of Psalm 107, verse 43. Now, he's just finished telling you how great it would be if only people would praise God for His goodness. Thank God for His goodness and praise God for all that He's done. You could avert all this stuff that was happening if you would just have praised God and remembered God. Don't forget God. But he finishes this chapter up by saying, whoso is wise and will observe these things Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Wow. In other words, man, you get a hold of this. You get a hold of this idea that to worship God, to declare God's goodness. Thank God. Lift your hands and praise God for all the good stuff He's done for you. Whoever's wise is going to watch this and say, hey, there's a connection here between thanking God, praising God, declaring His works, and more coming. Better stuff happening. Joy, peace, abundance. It's all connected to not forgetting who brought you to the dance. You know, we say that in Mississippi, you dance with the one who brung you. Well, that's what they're saying here, is that don't forget who brung you to the dance. Amen? Amen. Well, hallelujah. 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 Well, I'm finished. But I just want to tell you how much I appreciate this again. I serve a good God. You serve a good God. It's so good to serve God. Say that. It's good to serve God. As Pastor Ronnie used to say, it's good to be king. It's good to be a child of the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Won't you stand? You know, there may be some of you here tonight that, you know, you feel like you've been kicked around. Maybe you think, well, nothing's happened good to me. I mean, what do I have to be thankful for? Well, if you know Jesus, that's a great place to start. And I will encourage you, if you can think of nothing else to do tomorrow morning when you wake up to be thankful for, thank God that you're going to heaven. Amen. Now, there may be some of you here tonight that can't say that. That can't say that you're born again, that you know for sure that you're going to heaven. Well, you can know that tonight. And then, tomorrow morning when you wake up, you can say, thank God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I'm one of them. I'm one of those good works. You can say that. And it's very simple. It's very simple to know for sure that you've made Jesus your Lord. It's very easy. You can do it tonight. You don't even have to leave your seat. We're going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation, and you can just repeat it after me. But I would encourage you to do this. If you're doing that for the first time, tell somebody. Or even if you've recommitted your life to Jesus, tell somebody. You know, all these scriptures all said, declare the works of the Lord. Declare the good things that God's done for you. It's really important for you to tell somebody, because it looses something in your life that for more and more abundance to come. We'll also have the prayer workers down here in the front afterwards, and if you need prayer for anything, if you feel like you've been kicked around and just want somebody to agree with you that the goodness of God will be manifest in your life, they'll pray for you. But also tell them if you're making Jesus the Lord of your life for the first time. Why don't you pray this with me? Say, Father God, I thank You that You cared enough for me that You sent Jesus to die for me. He was buried, and 3 days later, He was raised from the dead. He was raised for me. And tonight, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. And so I say, Jesus, be my Lord. Make me a new creature. And when I die, receive me in heaven. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done for me. All that You've provided, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't that simple? Yes. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're born again.